I love to hold babies. I love babies. But I can't imagine the feeling that Simeon must have had knowing that he was holding the Savior in his arms. It was a life-changing experience for Simeon. As a matter of fact, Simeon, as he held him in his arms and blessed God, and he said, "Now, let me die." He said, "Now I'm ready. I'm ready. I've seen the Christ. And now I'm ready to die." Simeon recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, the one who had been prophesied many years before, the Savior. And he said, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 2 and verse 29 through 32, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace," or "let me die, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, with which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." In other words, I'm ready to die. I've seen the long-awaited Messiah. I've seen the Savior that I've been waiting so long to see. I've experienced Jesus Christ. What a life-changing experience this was for Simeon. And then there's Saul. We know Saul, who later would be Paul. Saul was, according to his own admission, he was the worst of the worst. I've talked to people from time to time, and they feel like that their sins are just so bad. They've done such horrible things that there's no way God could forgive them. And Saul, later Paul, tells us, "Hey, I was the worst of the worst." As a matter of fact, he was going about persecuting Christians. That was what he did. When he encountered Jesus, he was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. He had gotten letters from the high priest to go and arrest Christians, men and women, wherever he could find them. He would arrest them. But on the way to Damascus, he encountered a man named Jesus Christ. What a life-changing experience that was. Saul, who was later Paul, became one of the most faithful Christians that we have record of. He was a faithful pastor. He was a faithful church planter. He was a faithful witness. He was a faithful servant of God. A man who changed from being, from persecuting Christians to leading people to Christ. That's the change that took place. That's what happens when we encounter Jesus Christ. There's a change that takes place. The Bible talks about that, about how when we accept Christ, old things are passed away and all things become new. The things I once loved, I now hate. Things I once hated, I now love. That's the change that takes place when we experience, have a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. Now let's get to our scripture text for the morning. It's found in Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12, where we have the account of the wise men who came from the east to Jerusalem looking for Jesus, the one who was born King of the Jews. They had seen his star in the east, and they were coming to worship him. Now this is when they actually get to where Jesus is not immediately after his birth. He's not still in the stable there where he was laid when he was born. Now he's possibly up close to 2 years old when the wise men finally get to him, because they had traveled quite a distance to get to where Jesus was at. And the Bible says, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 2 in Matthew's Gospel, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so we see that these men they knew prophecy had been prophesied that Jesus was to be born. And so they knew about that prophecy, and they'd seen this star, and they knew that that star was a part of the revelation of Jesus Christ in his birth. And this morning I want to tell you that wise men still seek Jesus. They were seeking him. They were looking for him and trying to find where he was at. The wisest decision you'll ever make in your life is not what vocation you'll choose or who you'll choose to marry, what house you'll purchase or what community you'll live in. All these are important decisions for us to make. But the most important decision in life is what will you do with Jesus? And the wisest decision concerning that is that we trust Jesus to be our Savior and let him become Lord of our life. Let him be the controlling interest in our life. Accept his gift of salvation. So the wise men were looking for him because they wanted to worship him. And they did. And verses 9 through 11 says, When they had heard the king, they departed. This is after King Herod had tried to, had lied to him actually, and told them to, when they found him, to come back and let the king know where they had found him so he could go worship him, which was a lie. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So, but after that, after the king had lied to him, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so here, the wise men were genuinely seeking Jesus. They were seeking him because they knew who he was. They had, they knew of the prophecy. They knew that it was prophesied that a Messiah was coming who would rule. A Messiah was coming who would be our Savior, who would pay for our sins. And they wanted to be there to worship him and to lift up the name of Jesus. And today, we need to be following that example. We need to seek Jesus. We've heard about Jesus Christ. We've heard that he is, in fact, the only begotten Son of God. We've heard that he was born of a virgin in very humble surroundings, in a stable, and laid in a trough, a feeding trough there in a manger. And that's the way he came into the world. In the flesh, to set an example for you and me, humble surroundings that he came into, and he came and lived his life here, set an example for us. And so wisdom tells us that we need to seek him. We need to seek a Savior. In Psalm chapter 111, verse 10, the Bible says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And so it's wise to seek him. It's also wise to obey his commandments. It's the first and great commandment that says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And if we do that, we won't have any problem with all the other commandments. If we love the Lord first and foremost, with all our heart, soul, mind, and being. And so we need to come and worship him, for he alone is worthy. And so wise men, as we see here, these wise men were seeking Jesus, and we know that wise men still today seek Jesus Christ. They seek a relationship with with Him. Wise men and women and children seek a relationship with Jesus Christ. They seek to find Him and to have a relationship with Him, to have an encounter with Him, to have a change in their lives. But Satan will do everything he can to destroy that influence of Jesus Christ. He's still doing that today, but he didn't just start. He used King Herod to try to destroy Jesus, as we see here in this scripture, where King Herod lied to the wise men. There, beginning verse 3, Bible says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he had heard that these wise men had seen the star and they were going to find the king of the Jews. Said when he heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them that where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. If you look at Micah back over in the Old Testament, look at Micah chapter number 5, and verse number 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Talking about Jesus Christ. He is from the beginning. And John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He has always been, but He came in the flesh on that first Christmas morning. He was born of the flesh. But Micah tells us there that He is, that He's been of old, from everlasting. He's always been, but He will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So King Herod tells the wise men, y'all go on and find him. And as soon as you find him, you come back and let me know so I can go worship him. Well, that was a lie. That was not what King Herod wanted to do. King Herod wanted to kill him. King Herod felt threatened by him, and thinking that he was coming to set up a kingdom on earth. And so King Herod was threatened and felt threatened, and so he wanted to kill him. And so he lied to the wise men, telling them to come back and let me know where he's at so I can go worship him. He didn't want to go worship him. He wanted to go and kill him. And so Satan is still trying to deceive and mislead people today. He will lie to you. He all kind of lies. And Jesus talked about Satan's being a liar. It's recorded over in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Where it says he's speaking to the unbelieving Jews in this particular scripture. And he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus said of Satan, he's a liar and he's a father of lies. He don't know the truth. The truth's not in him. And today he's still lying to people. He'll tell you not to believe this Bible stuff. That's just some fantasy stuff. You know, don't waste your time listening to that bunch of radical Christians that say you need to accept Jesus as your Savior and begin to live for Him, and you spend all this time, you know, going to church and helping people and doing all these kind of things. All that's hogwash. Just do what you want to do. Just live your life. Have fun. Enjoy life, you know? Because we're all going to the same heaven one day. You know, all of us going to heaven. It don't matter what you do, how you live your life. That's a lie of Satan. That's what he's telling a lot of people. He's convincing a lot of people that it don't matter how you live. You know, you're going to, if there's a heaven, you're going to go there one day. And that's a lie. Most people are not going there, according to the Bible. Because most people, according to the Bible, are on the wide road that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. And there are not many people on that straight and narrow path that leads to life everlasting, that leads to heaven. And so Satan is still lying. He was lying then. He lied through King Herod to the wise men. He tried to get them to find out where Jesus was and to bring him word so he could go worship. But he didn't want to worship. He wanted to destroy him. As a matter of fact, if you read on, you find that King Herod killed a lot of babies, had a lot of babies killed trying to kill Jesus. But you can't stop Jesus, you know. You can destroy yourself and your life, but you can't stop Jesus. You can't stop God because he's in control. He's greater. He knows what your thoughts are. And so if you look at that story, you'll find that God spoke to Joseph and Mary and told them to leave town. And they did until King Herod died before they came back. All that was just fulfilling scripture that had been prophesied for years. And so wise men are still seeking Jesus, but Satan is still deceiving and lying to people. He will lie to you in all kinds of ways. He always paints a pretty picture. And he never paints sin as something evil that is destructive, that will hurt you. You know, he always makes it sound so good. You know, you got so many things that are destroying people's lives now. Think about how drugs are, you know. The devil says, oh man, you get you a few of them, you get you a high, you feel good, man. You just kind of float around and just really feel good. You forget all your trouble, all your cares, and it'll destroy them. But so many people fall to the lies of Satan, you know. He will show a husband, a man who's married, a beautiful lady, and just tempt him and try to tell him it's going to be all right, you know, it'll be all right. You never get caught, you know. Same thing with the ladies, you know. He lies. And then when they destroy themselves, they destroy their marriage, they destroy their families, they destroy their lives, and Satan just laughs because he's won that battle, because he's destroyed people, because that's what he came for. Jesus tells us that the devil comes, he's a thief and a liar. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. That's what Satan's about. Well, he hasn't changed. He's still that way. So be careful, be cautious when Satan starts telling you those lies. Don't believe him. But hang on to Jesus Christ and hang on to his word and listen to God and do the things that are pleasing to him. And so we find that wise men still seeking, the devil still deceiving and lying to people. And thirdly, when you find Jesus, you'll never be the same. We talked about Simeon. When Simeon saw Jesus, when he took Jesus in his arms, And he was never the same. He was ready. He was ready to go home to be with his Lord. Saul, when he met Jesus, he was radically changed and never the same. And anyone who's ever encountered Jesus Christ has experienced a change. And so did the wise men. What Satan won't tell you is when you find Jesus, you will have everything to live for. You know, he tries to tell us to, you know, just live for yourself and you know, just eat, drink, and be merry. You know, party down. Have a good time. Enjoy life. Don't worry about that God stuff. What he don't tell you is there is no true life outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a fake hope. There's a fake happiness, but it's a temporary thing, and it won't last. And so we need to understand that when we do accept Jesus, when we do encounter him, yes, we're going to have trials. We're going to have temptations. I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be lovely and there'll never be another trial, another temptation. You know, it's just smooth sailing. It's not because of Satan, because Satan is going to do his best to try to destroy you, to try to distract you, to try to discourage you, and to continue to lie to you. But I can tell you that there's no genuine happiness outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we have everything to live for. That's when life really begins. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, talked about the thief, first of all, old Satan, comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But he said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You want abundant life? And that's here and now. Jesus said, I've come so they can have life and have it abundant. You can have a full and meaningful life here and now when you've trusted Jesus to be your Savior and allowed him to become Lord of your life. Jesus came so that we could really enjoy life here and now. When you encounter him, you can have peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7 tells us, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious or worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. There is no peace, true peace, outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. But when you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, there's a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that will assure you that when you do face a difficult situation in life, and we will face them, that you're not alone. You're not in this by yourself. Jesus said, I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you to the end of the world. Jesus is able to protect us through those difficult times. He's able to provide for our every need, and he will do that. So many times I could give you example after example after example of how God has provided in times when we thought that there was no way, you know. There was no money to pay a bill or there was an obstacle that was unsurmountable. But nothing's impossible with God. And God always comes through if you put your trust and faith in him. So there's that peace that we get when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then there's joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, the last of verse 7 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's joy. There's a peace and a joy in knowing that when I lay my head down at night to go to sleep, I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to wake up on this side of eternity or on the other side, because I'm in good hands. And it's not Allstate. It's Jesus Christ. When we put our faith and trust in Him, we can know, we can have that peace, and we can have that joy of knowing that He is with us, that He's taking care of us, that He will take care of us, that He will either remove the obstacle or He will help us as we go through or over or around that obstacle. You know, He don't always remove it. Sometimes we need to go through it or over it or around it. But He's always there with us to help us. And if we will listen, He will direct us and tell us what way to go and what we need to do. And He's there. And we can overcome. We can be overcomers. As a matter of fact, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, according to Scripture. We can be more than conquerors, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors through Christ. And so, we see that the wise men still follow Jesus, still seek Him. Satan's still lying. He's still trying to deceive, distract, and discourage and destroy your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ. But when you find Jesus, you're never the same again, because you'll be different. You'll go a different way, as did these wise men. In chapter 2 there in verse 12, the Bible says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." They left another way. God warned them not to go back to King Herod. And God will do everything to try to warn you in those cases when you're tempted, when Satan's lying to you, when Satan's trying to mislead you and distract and discourage you. If you'll listen to Him and listen to what His Word says and obey it, then He will help you to avoid a lot of pitfalls, a lot of problems that you'll face if you do it on your own. If you'll just listen to Him, if you'll take time and spend time in His Word, learning what His Word says and how He tells us to live our life and what He tells us to do. If you'll study that, and if you'll just listen to Him, then He will help you to avoid a lot of the pitfalls in life, because you will be able to more readily recognize a lot of the red flags that will come up when you get invited to be a part of something and it's not godly. Then this red flag will pop up there and say, "Whoop, I think I read somewhere that's not what we need to be doing." And so, but if you don't know what God's Word says, then you're going to be misled a lot more. You need to know and study God's Word. You need to listen. You need to have that relationship with Him. Spend time with Him in prayer. He will speak to you. Now, He's not been bad to speak in an audible voice to me where, you know, He says, "All right, now, you better be careful there about that." But in that still small voice, just that nudging and that reminder, the Holy Spirit reminding me, "Don't do that." Or, in the other case, we need to do that, you know. But we need to listen and heed the Holy Spirit. Heed Him as He leads, as He speaks to us. We need to listen to Him and we need to obey Him. The wise men were warned and they obeyed. He advised them, warned them not to go back to King Herod. Now, they could have reasoned, "Well, you know, he's the king. We got to go back. You know, he wanted us to come back, so we got to go back." But God said, "No, don't go back to King Herod." And they listened to God, and they left there a different way. They left changed because they had encountered a man named Jesus Christ. They had encountered that Christ child. They had seen the Messiah, and their life had been changed by that. and they were forever changed, and you also will be forever changed when you have encountered the Christ child, Jesus Christ, the one who paid your sin debt, the one who has provided for your forgiveness. When we realize that we are broken, we're desperately in need of a Savior, we're in need of forgiveness, we're doomed to spend eternity in hell, to be tormented for eternity unless we accept Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and allow Him to forgive us and save us. And He'll do just that. He will forgive us. He will save us. He will give us a full and meaningful life here and now and eternal life to spend with Him in heaven. He gives us life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So, how about you today? Have you met Jesus? Have you accepted His gift of salvation? If not, today is the day of salvation. There'll never be a better time for you to accept Him, for you to trust Him as your Savior and allow Him to become Lord of your life. And as we venture into a new year, the year 2026, let's go a different way. Let's be, if we're already committed, let's be more committed. If we're not committed to Jesus Christ, if we've not trusted Him as Savior, then need to do that. Become a new person and begin the new year with a new set of goals and a new set of desires. Rather than stepping into a new year with a desire of doing things my way, whatever feels good, looks good, you know, whatever I want to do, whatever this flesh wants to do. That's what we do before we meet Jesus. But let's lay that aside, accept Jesus, and move into a new year with a desire to please Him in everything we do, in everything we say, to be a witness for Him, not only to be prepared ourselves to spend eternity with Him in heaven, to enjoy the benefits of life here and now, but with the desire to do all we can to influence someone else, to lead somebody else to faith in Jesus Christ. So we don't go along. We want to bring as many as we can with us because we're living in a world that is not going to be here for long, or at least the church is not going to be here for long. I believe, according to this Bible, that it's not going to be long. Look at things that are happening now and what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. We've got to know that we're in the last days. Be ready for in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man's coming. Be ready for that. Are you ready? Are you ready to make a commitment to be a better person, a better Christian in the year 2026 than you were in 25? You ready to make that commitment if you've never made it to be a Christian, to accept Jesus as your Savior and allow Him to become Lord of your life? Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You again for the opportunity, for the privilege, the awesome honor of standing here proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank You that someone shared the gospel with me one day. And I thank You that You heard my cry when I called out and said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of salvation and forgiveness. And You heard me and You forgave me. And You saved me. You made a new person out of me, and I thank You for that. Forgive me for the times that I failed You in this year. Lord, for the times that I didn't follow Your direction, that I didn't do the things that I knew I should have done. I missed out a lot of opportunities of being a witness and loving on somebody and encourage somebody, helping someone who's in need. Lord, forgive me for those times. Help me to be a better, more committed child of God in this year that's coming up. If you tarry until 26 comes here, Lord, be with these people that are here today. Or if there's one that's not prepared, not ready, not saved, I pray that today will be the day that they will resolve that. That they will call out to you and accept your gift of salvation, your gift of forgiveness. Lord, have your will and way in each of our lives. As the Holy Spirit speaks, help us to hear and to heed what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. The music's playing. If you're here and there's a need in your life, if you've never trusted Jesus, there'll never be a better time than today to trust Him, just to simply say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I ask you to forgive me and come live in my heart. And He'll do just that. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll be glad to pray with you, share Scripture with you. Maybe there are others who you've not been living the life you all been living, and you want to change that. You want to step out of this old year into a new year, a different person. Anyone, if God's spoken to you, if there's something, a decision you need to make, right now's the time to do it. Just step out from where you are and come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. Again, you don't need to confess anything to me.